Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
This is Aaron Donald, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. I'm also joined by Cody Carpentier. And boys, we're here. We're back on a Monday. We're going to be talking about some of our best ball and season long. I guess we don't have much season long exposures yet, but as far as by the looks of our best ball exposures, some of the players it looks like we might have somewhat of a early fade on here in 2025 season long leagues, and we're going to talk about the ones that we're most sad about, the ones that we're most scared about, the ones that make us worried that this could be wrong to have this player on a fade, and we'll kind of discuss why and see if you guys agree with our various selections. So, Cody, let's start with you.
I'm going to start out first and foremost with a guy that I'm both sad and nervous about fading this year, Mike Evans. His ADP is currently sitting at 35. If you go look over on all the best ball places like Underdog, I'm nervous and I'm sad about it because, one, I'm sad because Mike Evans is now going to be 32 soon, and it feels like we've lived through this decade plus of just dominance from Mike Evans. This offense, I don't think, is going to fall back too much, but with Chris Godwin being healthy, getting healthy, should be, Emeka Egbuka now being drafted in the first round, Jalen McMillan's there, Cade Otton showed he could play some good football, the running game they have, it just feels like Mike Evans' ADP in the third round is just a little bit overbaked right now. I know if you look at the last 10 years, he's been receiver 10, 10, 13, 10, 16 on a points per game basis. But right now in the third round, it's just a little too rich for me to click that button on Mike Evans. And it makes me a little bit of sad. And it makes me very nervous because we still know what he's capable of in that offense, catching double-digit touchdowns and giving you some consistency in fantasy.
Well, dude, let me go next because I'll just stay in that same wide receiver room, and it's a guy who it's a guy who we loved and a guy who I thought might have been the most maybe pro ready wide receiver in this whole entire class, and Emeka Egbuka, and somebody I was like, well, if he would have gone to a situation and a quarterback like Baker Mayfield in a situation like the Bucks and all the rest of it, I generally would have said, like, dude, Egbuka is set to smash here. He's going to come in and he's automatically going to be a wide receiver too. If there was not already a Chris Godwin, already not a Mike Evans, I don't even care about Jalen McMillan when comparing him to an Emeka Egbuka, right? But the fact that those two guys are there, and the fact that they're getting up there, Chris Godwin, like you mentioned about Mike Evans, is he going to continue to have 1,000-yard season? I mean, at some point, he's not going to – maybe not.
Maybe it would be one of these things where we just say this is the year he falls off. This is the, and he just doesn't. And he, but it feels like at some point, man, probably this year, we're gonna see that fall. I mean, dude, it took. Do you remember what a sweat it was for him to get to the 1,000 last year?
Yep.
For him to make that extra cash, it was like 30 seconds left in the game. Yeah. So he got it, and you know he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I just think at this point you would have to think that there could be not to jinx him and knock on wood because we love Mike Evans, but it's something you have to bake in. And there could be injury there. You have to bake it in with Chris Godwin that there could be injury there. So I could see it going really bad with fading Emeka Egbuka. But here, whenever I look at this spot around what the ADP is like 93, something like this. Yeah, 93. And it just comes at a time, maybe in best ball. And dude, and this could change whenever we start getting more into roster construction for pure redraft, season-long redraft. But this is an area of drafts where you can take tight ends, right? You can get tight ends like Jonnu Smith. And I've been interested in taking Travis Kelce just because it feels like around pick 100, Travis Kelce feels too cheap. And I've just noticed, man, like I have a good amount of those guys. And the reason I don't have any Emeka Egbuka is because I do have a lot of that roster construction. I worry that it could go bad. I'm not sure that he'll be a fade by the time we get to the season because anything could happen between now and then. But right now, I'm sad and a little bit worried that I don't have hardly any Emeka Egbuka. Trash man.
So you're fading Evans or Egbuka?
No, Egbuka. I don't have much. I don't have too much Evans either. But I was looking through, and I'm like, man, you know, who are the rookies that I really love? And I have another rookie that I'll talk about, who in season long prior to the draft, I have a bunch of them. Since the draft, I haven't taken.
I'll talk about a rookie too. Yeah. With my first, and that's R.J. Harvey. I mean,
you're not going to have R.J. Harvey.
I mean, it's just I think he might be getting overdrafted. His situation isn't as defined as people think it is.
Yes, it is.
How? I mean, let's look at the depth chart.
Yeah, let's look at it. It's a pile of steaming garbage, just like you, trash man.
But it's not. Audric Estime, who you loved last season.
I did not love Audric Estime. Since when did you put that evil on me?
You liked him. I mean,
fine.
And we have, I mean, Jalen McLaughlin's still there. Blake Watson, who's a cheat.
I'm more worried about McLaughlin than anything right now.
I'm waiting for Blake Watson to get his shot there in Denver. I think Blake Watson was the most dynamic running back at the Shrine Bowl last year. I mean, it's just not, it's not a home run for Harvey.
It is a home run for Harvey. Whether he's being overdrafted or not, you can't argue that it's not a home run that he goes to Denver, where he's pan-picked by Sean McVay. He's pan-picked by Sean Payton, and they take him in the second round of the draft. And
Harvey's sixth in dynasty drafts. I just don't think volume-wise or efficiency-wise, it's not commensurate with where he's getting drafted.
Okay. I mean,
you're talking about guys we don't want to fade necessarily, but I'm just looking at the situation, and he's an unknown. So like, yeah, it's not as clear cut as it might seem to be. Enough so for me to be more bullish on other players around where I could get Harvey.
Oh, all right. So do you like Chuba Hubbard more than Harvey?
Yeah, off the bat.
Okay.
Starting week one, yes.
I'm not sure that I agree with that. But, hey, could be wrong. He is an old rookie. You know, he's old. They say these old guys. And, you know, and there's also the stat. I forgot who had the stat, but we talked about it on the show the other day about these guys that get the massive ADP bumps due to landing spot.
You would take Harvey over Hubbard?
Yep. I would. Season long, I would.
I think Trevor Etienne's going to have something to say in that backfield.
Everything that we're hearing is everything that we want to hear about the way that they envision using him And it's coming straight from the head coach and coming straight from the head coach at the combine. Like, it was Sean Payton told us, he looked at Cody right in the eye and he said, like, dude, he said, I've kind of put all these guys, I put Audrick Estime and Jaleel McLaughlin and all these, he listed four guys. I forgot who the other one was. It was Watson. I forgot the other.
80.
With Tyler Bidet. And he said, I kind of put them all in the same bucket. They're all the same kind of guy to him. Like, RJ Harvey's not in the same bucket.
We'll see when he gets on the field. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know that he's going to get going to run away with the touch count there.
And all right. No. Cody, back to you.
I'm going to go, because this is really tough for me. I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley.
That was who the other guy was going to go with. We hadn't talked about rookies.
Well, me and Trashman are going to go.
Let's hear about your big fade on Saquon.
All right, ready? Each of the last five RB1s have not finished in the top seven the next season. He's got 375 touches last year. The one thing, like, I'm nervous about it only because this is a really good football team, right? And it can bite you in the butt.
And he's 28 years old.
It's exactly. But we love him. We know he's a superstar. We saw what he did. And there's no reason to expect that he doesn't get probably not the same workload, but like similar usage. And like now they know how to perfectly use him. He should be fine, but I'm nervous about it. And I don't think he should be drafted first overall or second overall.
Who
in the top seven?
Who is second for you then? Jefferson?
Who's second what?
You said he should be first. I think it's fine to say I'm fading him at the 101. Like I kind of think it's right to take Jamar Chase.
I mean, I faded Christian McCaffrey last year at the 101. I took Bijan and it worked out for me in the league.
Well, I mean, that's good. That's like injury stuff, right? Like,
that's what goes into it. You go back to Todd Gurley. JT dealt with a couple injuries the year later. Eckler completely fell off because he couldn't stay healthy. Like, this is a position that we know comes with injury risk. And when you take on 300, unless you're Derrick Henry, you take on 300 plus touches year after year, you can't withstand it. We've already seen Saquon deal with multiple.
And he has an injury history. It's not like he's it's not like he's been without injury in his career.
Yeah. I'm nervous about it because I love him, but it's the track record, the history of the position. The one thing that tells me he'll be fine is that this offense is well oiled. There's enough weaponry around where it doesn't have to be a Christian McCaffrey type thing where they just go, it's the only guy we got. It's like they can take off a little bit and he could still be a top five guy.
All right. So you guys both have Saquon. So I guess it'll just come back to me. And this one's hard for me because this was my guy. You can ask Cody all off season. Omarion Hampton has been my guy. I just loved him from the first time I put on the tape, first time I watched him. He might have been the first kind of I think just because where it fell in the cycle and the project that I was doing was kind of unrelated to NFL draft stuff. But it was one. I think about the first time I cracked on the All-22 this year was for a UNC game, and
you're
I
watching like, Travis
I,
Shaw.
Yeah, I wasn't even watching Hampton. But I was just like, I couldn't, you know, you fast forward through the offense and you'd be like, what was that? And you'd stop. And I couldn't take my eyes off Hampton. I texted Cody. I'm like, is this guy, you know, I know Genty's the RB1, but is this guy consensus RB2? And at that point, he kind of really wasn't. It was still sort of up in the air. I'm like, dude, this guy's going to end up as a RB2. It's like a total lock. I thought, I'm like, he reminds me so much of Jonathan Taylor. And I love him. I think he's fantastic. His ADP right now is
– Why are you fading him?
Because his ADP is 43, and he's kind of a backup.
He's not kind of. I think he's a complete timeshare.
It's at least going to be a 50-50 timeshare with Najee Harris. And we're taking him in the middle of the fourth round. How can you take it? I feel like I've said this on the show before. How can you take a guy and see? But now in Dynasty, take him wherever you want. Take him at the 102. I don't care. But for 2025, how are we going to take a guy and again, I feel like I've said it and said it and said it. You can't take a player in the fourth round that you're not even sure that you're going to be able to put in your starting lineup in week one. It's just like the kind of guy where you might have to like, well, hold off a week and say like, well, what if he only gets 40% of the, what if he only gets 40% opportunity share? I can't play him. So why is he going? I don't know. Maybe at best ball, it's just the galaxy brain thing of just, you know, if Najee gets hurt, we all know how good Omarion Hampton is. And we also know that in best ball, it's people really, really, really value the schedule being back weighted, right? So you can win those late season games to take down the tournaments. I understand all that. But 43 overall? Are you kidding me? That is, I mean, I'm every time I look at that, I'm just aghast. I'm like, that's like four rounds too high. So I hate it, but no, I'm not going unless things fundamentally change with our understanding of how they envision that backfield working. There's no chance as far as season long next season. All right, what are we back to, trash man?
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
What makes for a great vacation? Depends on who you ask. Are you looking to get away? Or bring everyone together? Do you want to get outside and play? Or see a play at the plate? Fortunately, however you operate, I'm the destination you've been looking for. The name's Missouri, but you can call me Mo. And I have just one question. What's your MO? Come see me at visitmo.com.
My next one is Tyrone Tracy. Just considering, you know, Cam Scadabo being there now, and, you know, the offensive line still has questions. The quarterback situation, it's arguably better than it was, but it's not, you know, by leaps and bounds better than it was. It's a lot of things Tyrone Tracy is going to have to fight get over that ADP, or to play above that ADP, or even or commensurate to it, where he's being drafted. He's RB27 right now. I mean, like, they're got like Tony Pollard's around him. Najee Harris is behind him. I'm not taking
Najee Harris is going five rounds after Omarion. It's crazy. He's probably going to lead. He's at least going to start the season leading the backfield. I know Omarion's better.
That's going to be the opposite of the show. Who are you nervous to be all in on? It's going to be Najee Harris. Could you? Yeah.
But yeah, so Tracy, where
I'm not going to be all in on Najee.
Right now, I think there are too many variables, and on that New York Giants offense, and there are some safer picks around him. Although I like Tracy.
All right, Cody.
I was nervous about Tracy before the draft, and then they brought in Scam Cataboo, and now it is what it is. This one I'm nervous about because it's like the was it George Bush that said, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, can't be fooled." Right? I was fooled once last year by Kyren Williams, and I might fool myself again this year with Kyren Williams, but you go look at last year, like I just talked about touches with Saquon Barkley. Last 2 years, Kyren Williams, 260 touches. Last year, 350, and his yards per touch went down a full yard per touch. Same amount of touchdowns overall, 100 more overall scrimmage yards. They brought in Blake Horm a year ago, and now this year they bring in Jarquez Hunter. I think they're going to be a good football team, but as far as overall fantasy football output, where he's going right now, he's 33rd overall. So again, he's right there in the meat of the third round. I think there's maybe a half dozen guys behind him that I would feel good about drafting ahead of him. And it's just a role that he's undersized back that I just don't believe can hold on to this much grueling, pounding output and continue to give us, you know, this top seven, top six fantasy football output. So I'm going to nervously fade Kyren Williams, and hopefully I'm not fooled again.
It could end up really bad, but I can't argue with it because I said it on the, I forgot what topic we were talking about, but a couple weeks ago, he was like, I kind of laid out a lot of the same stuff about why I'm like, I don't think I can have much of him, but maybe that was the one that was like the worst pick in every round. I was like, this could look really bad because this could end up being the best pick. And because that third round is full of guys where, you know, question marks. I'm going to have a third round guy here. I'll do in a quick second, but before I get to that, I'm going to get to this one, and Cody won't be nervous about this at all. But I mean, am I crazy to be a little bit nervous about just being out on second round Christian McCaffrey?
I mean, that was my final guy.
I don't know whether it's just like I'm just overthinking it to where it's like, you know, after last year, you know, he's just back to being hurt every year. And you've forgotten that he's had so many, you know, the two years prior. I know you mentioned the Austin Eckler, the RB1 year, but I think Christian McCaffrey was RB2 that year. He was RB1 the year after that. And then last year only played, I think he only got in on, what, five games? So four. He just, okay. So just terrible, right? Terrible. Terrible pick last year. And
we drafted ahead of Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, well, we were led a little bit astray by various Twitter docs. You know what I mean? You can't rely too much on the old Twitter fingers of these doctors sometimes. But I mean, it's still CMC. They give the 49ers get rid of Elijah Mitchell. The 49ers get rid of Jordan Mason. Now it's just Isaac Grindo behind him. I know they drafted Jordan James, but I'm not worried about him compared to Christian McCaffrey. He's still, if healthy, the elite offensive weapon for a team that has a 10.5 win total this year. He has his quarterback now signed to a long-term deal, which seems like it kind of bring, I don't know for what reason, but it makes me feel like that kind of brings an aspect of stability to the offense. We know it's going to be a schedule that when we looked at it, just a schedule with a bunch of winnable games and kind of good, easy opponents.
I mean, you have to handcuff him. That you have to handcuff Christian McCaffrey if you're drafting him this season.
Yeah. Maybe that's the big takeaway. Here's the thing. Maybe it's like, I'm not saying go ahead and fade Christian McCaffrey at a second round price tag. What I'm saying is I've kind of done it so far, and I'm pretty nervous about it. And as we begin to kind of deploy our plans for the ultimate draft cheat sheet, that's going to be for season long leagues, which, you know, starting in June, we have like a week and a half until all you're going to be hearing from us about mainly is just, you know, dynasty drafts. And then as far as season long stuff, it's just going to be redraft, right? We start to focus on that in June. And so that's when we'll start formulating our plan a lot more, but it feels been best ball. I've kind of missed out on the guy and I'm pretty nervous about it given this price. So I just have one more after this. So whatever you guys got, you know, you can get it off your chest.
I got one more. But I will say, if we're looking at historical trends, McCaffrey played 16 games in 2019, 3-7, 16 games in 2022, 6-10, 16 games in 2023, and then 4. So I don't think we're going to get another full season. The trends would tell us.
Well, dude, even if he bumps back up to 11 or something like that, it's like and it's the first 11 weeks of the season. I think you know what I mean?
You just have to get insurance. You just have to get insurance for him.
Jordan Mason insurance. All right. Here's my last one.
It's got to be Isaac Grindo insurance.
Yeah.
Who'd they just get too? They got Jordan James.
Jordan James.
Jordan James. That'll be your free. Grendel will get drafted, I think, but James will be free. I'm going to go running back here. I love this guy. So this is going to be one I'm sad about because right now his ADP actually dropped from 31 to 40 since the draft. So it's dropped 9 spots, giving us a little bit more value. But even that, he's still going off wide receiver 23. ADP is right around, like I said, 40. We got him actually right around that same area in the best ball cheat sheet right now. And I'm just – the more I sit and look at it, the more I sit and think about it, he's 28 years old in the Chicago offense. DJ Moore – being obviously the first receiver drafted.
He was running back.
No, receiver. The first receiver drafted from the Bears between Burden, Odunze, Moore, Loveland, Kmet. It's just too much for me. I just can't get there when you look at his historical output of last year. He was wide receiver 26 in fantasy points per game. The year before, he gave us a wide receiver 9 season in fantasy points per game. Before that, when he was in Carolina, 33, 23, 28. And he's being drafted right now, like I said, wide receiver 23. And I'm not even sure he's going to lead his own team in receiving because we love Rome Odunze last year. I love Luther Burden. And if they put Luther Burden in the Amon-Ra St. Brown role, Colston, it's just disgusting. It's just way too much for me to be in on DJ Moore in the third or fourth round right now. So I'm sad about it because I think he's a stud, and I think he's kind of going to get the he's just going to get cucked. His whole career is just kind of not going to have a true opportunity to be a number one without supreme talent on the other side of him.
Do you like the over or the under on it, on his receiving yards prop? I was looking at it. I think just today I was looking at some of these. And I think DJ Moore's was sitting at 1,050.
Under.
Yeah. It's the same as Terry McLaurin. I think they were both 1,050.
Really? I'd take McLaurin's over and I'd take Moore's under.
All right. Do you have any more trash, man? Do you want me to wrap it up here?
I mean, McCaffrey was my last one. So you can
okay.
Go.
Here's mine. And as the more and more I've thought about this, the more and more I'm like, what am I doing? But I'm looking at my best ball exposures, guys. And I have very little Tyreek Hill. And it's concerning to me because I looked at his ADP and I'm not sure.
What if he's traded?
Here's the thing is, well, somebody would need to take on that contract. Kansas City's not doing it.
He'll do it for free to go win a chip, man.
They have Kansas City's not going to do it. I don't think that they can get out of his contract this year. If you look at it, they can pretty easily get out of it next year, but I looked at it. I think it's what, 58 million dead associated if they were to do it this year.
The one thing we know about contracts in the NFL, Alex, anything can be torn up if both sides agree to it. And if Tyreek Hill says, I'll tear this thing up to go to Kansas City,
the real troll move that a Hill would do would be to go to Buffalo, where he would be the clear number one and just stick it.
Have you guys monitored his ADP? He's a third rounder right now. It's Tyreek Hill in the third round. I'm like, dude, this is worrisome to have the fade on. Like, because it's mainly okay. So this is a lot of this is tied to Tua Tagovailoa, right?
Of course.
So if you look at his production, it's like basically 19 fantasy points per game since he's been at Miami. Whenever. Tua is a quarterback versus 13 whenever it's been other quarterbacks. He averages 7.2 catches for 108.4 with Tua per game versus 4.9 catches and 55.3 yards without Tua. So you're basically looking at a guy that's half the man that he is if Tua is not out there, right? I do think this season – whenever I think about the quarterbacks who he's had like Bridgewater, Tyler Huntley, Skylar Thompson, these kinds of guys. I know, say what you say about seventh rounder Quinn Ewers. He does have some arm talent. Does he get hurt? Yes, but so does Tua. Like I actually think it's kind of a good fit for him down there. I'm not sure he would represent the same kind of downgrade. It's certainly not as a Skylar Thompson, you know, if Tua were to get hurt. But what you're betting on here is Tua not getting hurt and Tyreek Hill being Tyreek Hill, who over the course of, if you don't count last season, going back to like the last 5 years, he's been wide receiver two, wide receiver two, wide receiver two, wide receiver six, and then whatever it was last year. And you're getting him in the third round of these drafts. I'm just like, I haven't gotten much of him because I've been worried this whole time. I've been holding out. I'm like, what if he gets traded? What if they cut him? What if something happens where he's like, he punches some shrimp boat captain in the face? Or I don't know what's happening with it. But as we get closer and closer to the season, it was looking like Tyreek Hill, who was limited last year with you forget that he had a wrist injury. He had a torn ligament that he played through. He had 1.75 yards per route run last year versus 3.76 in 2023. If we get closer to the season and it's looking like Tyreek Hill is healthy, he's going to be a Dolphin. Tua Tagovailoa is healthy. He's going to be a Dolphin. Here's the thing. I've already talked, like, this isn't a fade. You need to go out and get Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I mean, looking at where the other guys, where you can get them, to me, he's not a fade.